Alright, welcome Fight Fans to What's on Fight, the podcast that reviews all the combat sports and shows you can find on the Fight TV app. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and I have a co-host. He is the one and only Finn Fish. Finn, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Sitting back and relaxing.
Awesome. Well, I'm on location volunteering for Starfest. I've been having a very busy week. In fact, got to go to two Rocky Mountain Pro shows this past weekend. And speaking of which, we have the current Rocky Mountain Pro champion, Mario Vanger. Mario, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Great.
Just warning you, I just finished a pretty intense leg workout, so I'm a little bit still
on stage
trying to recuperate.
Okay. All right. We'll promise not to keep you too long.
I don't worry. As long as I'm sitting, I can't
use
my legs anymore.
Okay. Great. So, Mario, how did you, tell us a little about yourself. How did you get, started with, pro wrestling? What were your kind of influences growing up? And, things of that nature.
I was born in Austria, born and raised in Austria. My parents were living in Austria, but they were immigrants originally from Serbia, and my mom's side was Hungarian. So I was growing up in Austria with my twin brother. And back in Austria, they didn't have any cable TV or any satellite TV, so I only knew WWE from like the magazines at school and the figures. But at the age of, I think, 14, 15, finally we got cable TV, and the first thing I saw was Goldberg fearing Chris Jericho on the ramp. And that just like hooked me right away back to wrestling. But then back then when I was 16, 17, I realized, like, for wrestling, like, for example, Goldberg, you had to look larger than life. So I started doing push-ups at home. We had, like, a pair of dumbbells. So I used the dumbbells. So I had anything I could with the dumbbells, like dumbbell curls, shoulder press. Me and my brother, we even, took the broomstick. We taped on each side, a toolbox, squats and board curls. And then eventually, as in 18, 19, I started working on the gym.
Spent 2 years there, basically. It was a basement gym. It was one of those old school gyms, run by IMDb Pro Bodybuilder back in Austria. And then I think at the age of, 21, I believe, I was big enough. I was like 245, 250. Me and my brother went to science.
Do you hear that feedback? Is it on your side?
Yeah, it's probably me. Like I said, I'm on location right now.
Got you.
At the convention, no, so it's probably me.
No worries.
So keep on going.
Yeah. So, eventually, I found out about the Kovacs brothers back in Austria. Michael Kovacs, Tom Kovacs. So they started training us all season. So they beat the crap out of us. I couldn't move for a week or two, and then I went back to training and it didn't give up. But then I immigrated to New Jersey, and then I lost track with work there, running a nightclub and everything. And 2012, I got back into wrestling in Florida. But then, when I moved to Colorado, 2000, almost 3 years ago, then I started full-time with the Rocky Mountain shows, and of course with the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy, and that's where I really focused and really stayed consistent to progress every day, so. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, very, very cool.
Stop, yeah.
when you came from Austria, you came straight to Colorado?
No, to South Florida, Miami. Miami,
I was wondering why would you pick Colorado, but Florida sounds like a much nicer place.
It was fun. The reason I ended up there because a good friend of mine, Archie, he had an agent back then in Miami, which he was trying to get into the NFL because he was a rugby player in Europe. So we said we'll move together to Miami and see what happens. I didn't have any plans or anything. So I found the wrestling school there with all our Pablo Marquez and Evans and Bruno Sassi and all the guys down there training down in Florida. So, but then, I lost track because, Miami is a good city.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I love Colorado. I started missing seasons. I needed a change. I needed good weather. I just needed a change. My family, my brother's a good family. So, and then I found out about the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy. And then I said, you know what? I'm on it. I decided I'm going to focus on wrestling and using it as a platform to raise awareness about the career process. Being an entrepreneur. Try to make things work. Try to go for the win-win situation.
Right. So, speaking of, and I believe you call it the sugar-free movement, tell us a little bit about that, what you're doing, and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay, back in, I think it was 2011 or 12, I kind of figured it out myself. The sugar is like a drug, it's bad, because I was always a sweetie, and I could never get off the sugar. When I was dieting, I was dealing with a lot of withdrawal symptoms, it was terrible, and what kept me on board was the discipline. Because from early on, I started watching, specifically with bodybuilding, the thought of discipline, and the wrestling too, but I figure out sugar is even when I was 14, I was so hooked on it. Me and my brother, as soon as we had a couple, a little bit of money, went to the grocery store and bought a whole bunch of chocolate and ate it in 10 minutes.
Mm.
Every time I at least once a day, I kind of had hypoglycemia. I felt hypoglycemia, when insulin drops and you get sweaty and dizzy and you need to lay down.
Right.
So I would think I probably had pre-diabetes because my insulin probably was really high. So slowly I tried to figure out and fast forward to 2012. I was telling my gym partner sugar is bad and then I started really becoming more interested in books and reading books and then I found out about Dr. Robert Lustig. He talked about the same thing and he just explained everything on a more complex level and I just experienced it every day I read and everything and what I'm trying to do is trying to raise awareness about processed food and processed sugar, especially for the kids, I don't judge anything. You can eat as much as you want. I believe you can do any drug as long as it doesn't affect anyone else.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, like kids, they don't really have a choice if they're being fed with sugar, even when they're in the womb. Because of the woman's pregnant. So, and we have a problem with that. More than half the population is sick. Mostly because of sugar, but because it's food we eat. So then,
right.
Healthcare is about to collapse because by 2050, there's too many people sick. Oh. We can't support it budget wise. But it's not even it's more moral. I don't even care about the money for people. You don't want to have you don't want to be 35 years old, 45 years old, and dealing with some serious health issues, and you can't even spend time with your kids.
Right. So that's the whole point of the Sugar Free Movement. I use sports entertainment, pro wrestling as a platform. And I'm going to see how far I can go, especially with schools like, I know Arnold Schwarzenegger, he does the after school programs. Like, keep the kids off the streets and try to have them have some after school programs so they don't get in trouble. And at the same time, I'm trying to improve the quality of food in public schools and private schools. So that's the long term goal. But I think every day, like the other day, I was working out in the gym, and it really meant a lot to me. I had a guy walk up to me. Oh, I shouldn't be Mario Mandrew. I'm a big fan. I said, and he told me, because of you, I stopped eating sugar. And I feel much better. I lost my fat around my gut. Because he was a muscular guy. He just couldn't get rid of the fat, you know, and it was so hard. He was always eating sugary stuff. So he told me, as long as you can, all the philosophy,
Yeah.
If you're in this world and you leave the world in a better state, you did something good. So.
Yeah, I get that. You spoke of like Arnold Schwarzenegger and you being from Austria as well. What are other big things out there? Like you said, you watch American pro wrestling. Was there Austrian pro wrestling out there, or?
The first ever show I did was back in Austria. It was a huge club, but I had no idea. I wasn't ready. I had no idea what I was doing. I don't even remember. I just remember a huge club. It was 2007. I mean, Austria, they had like Otto once. He was Otto once. He was a big Austrian wrestler, famous guy. Then we have Cash Lassison. Yeah, like Michael Kovacs back in the 90s, CW. They have a good independent, or they used to have it, like, I don't know what's interesting now, but yeah. But then, I never been to one of those. It was a mainstream media things. So, the only thing back in, like, middle school, or elementary school, I see a couple of figures, like Muscle Man, Paul Coleman, Bret Hart, Yoko Zuna, from the old WWF. And that's how I knew wrestling. The first time I saw it, it was on TV. It was WCW.
Yeah. And how was, like you said, your body, you did bodybuilding as well.
Yeah.
With the influence of Schwarzenegger, is that big over in, was that big, humongous in Austria, bodybuilding?
Oh, no, it was also same thing as pro wrestling in Austria. It was a minority, like nobody knew about it. People, if you did bodybuilding, you were like, they looked at you like an alien. Like Austria, it's a strange country in those terms. Like people are so like, I don't know how to say. Like it was something different. As soon as you're different, they look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
So the gym I worked out in. It was like, I spent there the whole day. I lived there for 2 years, basically. Like, working out. I was working the floor desk. I was working for chicken breasts. I didn't even get paid in money. I was getting paid in food. Me and my brother, we did compete in one bodybuilding competition. That was a good experience. That's why I got hooked on the live audience. Even it wasn't wrestling, but there were like thousands of people like cheering at you on stage. Like that energy I was already getting hooked on. And once I transferred into wrestling, which wrestling was the first one, I just knew I needed to build my physique better to even have a chance.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I fell in love with bodybuilding. Like, just like it really changed my life. Because I used to party and horse around and drink when I was 17, 18. And then all of a sudden I stopped, no more drinking. And all my friends, they thought I'm crazy, I converted into some crazy religion, but I was just buying them.
I seen a lot of your skits on Rocky Mountain Pro. Did you take any, like, acting classes?
No. Acting classes, you mean?
No,
right.
I never took any acting classes.
Yeah, look, some of your stuff is really funny, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Yeah, like, you always evolve and you try to find yourself on a different level. You know, you're trying to be yourself, but like, over the top. And just like acting, even actors sometimes, I don't even like the term acting. I feel like actors, they're not acting in the movie, they're being that character for that movie. And they really believe it. And so, at the same time, as Vince Russo, Vince Russo really helped me out too. With some of those segments that really bringing the best out of me, coming out of the idea. It was really trying to get, when the director tries to get to know the actor really good, and then he knows what would really work good, to bring the best out of it,
Yes.
So it's me, my character is me, It's me, but on, drink 20 tequila shots, which I don't. And just having fun enjoying it, especially with kids. The segments with the kids on the grocery store, it's fun. And I think the message is a message trying to deliver a message within them,
Yeah.
Right.
One of your, I haven't seen, I'm not caught up on Rocky Mountain Pro, but one of your biggest feuds was with Royce Isaacs. And one of the skits where he's dumping sugar on you. I couldn't stop laughing because, he's like, you're poisoning me.
That was a bad experience for me. Because what happened is, so after Royce Isaacs threw the sugar on me, the whole bag, I guess he got into my mouth. And I'm not used to that much of sugar or any sugar. So once when I went back to sour, I felt my insulin, I was feeling bad at that time. It really affected me bad. Yeah, once I, but then I paid it back in the walk.
Right. We love that.
Yeah. He's on the wall thing. Now he's in Japan. He promotes, so
yeah.
Now I'm safe. There's no more beef at the moment, hopefully.
we've had him on the show and we got talking a little bit about that. So it was kind of fun. So speaking of Royce Isaacs and other wrestlers, who are your favorite wrestlers to wrestle as opponents and as a team up with as an attack team?
Any thoughts about Rocky Mountain Pro?
Sure. Or anything. Yeah.
My favorite wrestlers I had matches with, the good matches I had, they were the most painful ones because, when you go through those matches, but at the end of the day, think about it, there was a great opponent, he brought the best out of me. And Royce Isaacs, Sam Udell, Anaya.
Yeah.
I just recently had a match with, last night, with Curtis Cole.
Yeah.
Holy crap. We beat the crappy out of each other. But I even teamed up with Curtis Cole prior, so I like him as a tag partner, so I would like Curtis Cole, definitely I can team up with him. He's probably one of my favorites to team up with. Zebra Cool is a funny dude too. Let me think who did he team up with? Tyler Stinson. It's always good to have a shoot on his side.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Somebody with a 10-year MMA experience. Yeah, that's basically, on the spot, it's so hard to remember all that. But Rocky Mountain Pro, in general, was a phenomenal roster. roster is just getting evolved. Now you get the big guy, Filter, coming up. So I'm watching Filter, I'm watching it very carefully. Just like all the Schwarzenegger, when he told Lou Ferrino, I watch you, Lou. I'm saying right now, I watch you, Filter, I watch you.
Uh-oh. Mario's calling Filter out. He's keeping an eye on him. We might have to have him on, see what his response is. So,
speaking of the no sugar,
what
do you do for Halloween? Do you do that? What do you give out? Because I don't want to come to your house if you're not giving out sugar.
I mean, I know you saw from season one that segment for Halloween, usually I dress up as the devil and I try to scare the kids away from eating sugar again. So, I'm trying to figure out how Halloween became so much about collecting candy, eating all the candy. I think Halloween is a great thing. I love it. I like to dress up with the kids. But, most parents, I think, I see parents that, you know, they collect all the candy, but they don't eat all the candy in one night. But, I wish they would collect, like, fruits or something similar, but way better.
So don't go to Mario's Venture's house if you want candy. Just keep going.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get something sweet, like maybe an orange or an apple or some blueberries. Blueberries are good. Raspberries. Strawberries. Because you know, like just a simple example, like the difference between fruits. And I'm not saying, like, I don't even like when people take everything so, like, they take it away. Like, if I say now, for example, oh, you can eat fruit, so maybe somebody now listens to it and says, oh, of course, I can eat fruit, and they're gonna go and eat the whole fruit salad. that's not good.
Yeah.
Because our bodies, when we were hunter gatherers, it was so hard to find anything. So even the wild apples, like apples used to be like just almost like a small peach, like really small, and they were sour. They were not even that sweet. There wasn't that much sugar in there. But now with the GMO and all the new modified apples, they're juicy, they're big, they taste fantastic, like, you know? So that's why, like, you can have an apple, but don't eat five apples and two bananas and all blueberries. But at the same time, I'd rather have kids be, if they want to have a treat, have them a piece of fruit. Give them a piece of fruit, that's a treat, something sweet. And the good thing about fruit is so much fiber in there, antioxidants, that the sugar doesn't really affect them in a bad way.
Right.
Like the little amount of sugar was in there. But of course, if they eat like a whole processed fruit salad, which they put additional sugar in there, processed sugar, high fructose corn syrup, is bad. So you really, really, what's the problem with the society? It's like, people are not educated, and the government says, or the food industry says, it's your personal responsibility. But it's not your personal responsibility, because there's no access and knowledge about food. The food industries, they don't educate you about nutrition. And that's the problem. And once you get hooked on all those sweet, sugary beverages and candy and everything, your biochemistry, your body changes, becomes addicted. So it's not your personal responsibility, because the biochemistry drives the behavior. The people who are addicted to sugar and the obese, it's not like they want to eat it, they're just so, the body's telling them, I need that, you know? So it's not really personal responsibility, so that's why I'm trying to get the knowledge out.
Because it's a problem, especially for the kids, you know?
Right. You can't make the choice.
So
now that you guys are on Fight, have you watched any of your matches? What do you watch on Fight?
I don't even have a TV, but I try to look up on fights, like a couple of fights, some good fights. but at night, I don't remember which fight I watched last time. And then I also tried to watch Rocky Mountain season, Rocky Mountain Close Charge season, the first season. And, you know, I try to watch it, like I'm always interested, especially if I see also myself. I hate watching myself, but sometimes it's good to see what I could have done better, you know? Like, trying to, you know, my first goal is to always progress. I'm trying to, every day, you know, when I go to bed, I want to be living better, a little bit wiser than the day I, than when I woke up in the morning. So, watching now, Rocky Mountain 4, Charge, season 1 of 5 is really helpful and intriguing. You know, it's like, I'm watching it and it's so funny and, like, just intrigues me. It's like a good story. Vince Russo wrote this first season and he did a fantastic job.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of season 1, where we reviewed episode 1 and 2,
yeah.
And we recently interviewed Kelly Dowdy.
Yeah.
And he informed us that my co-host got a little heat with you about what he thought of the championship belts. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, your co-host, which is Finn,
that's Tony. Yeah, Finn.
Yeah, Finn. I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you talking about the look of the
belt? Yep.
The front plate, mostly the front plate.
Gotcha. And don't worry, you can talk about it open. Like, I don't judge anyone. Everybody has a perception. Like, I know today's society is like, as soon as somebody says something and people get offended, it's like people get so like judgmental and aggressive. Like, I'm not like that. So don't worry.
Yeah. He said I got some heat back there, but I said the color scheme is good. It's just the front plate. I don't like the look. It looks kind of cheesy to me. But
who do you have heat with? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Oh, you?
You.
Oh, me? I don't even know.
Yeah. So he said some of the guys back said, yeah.
So I mean the bells like that we had, you know, like the production was mostly for season 1. Like there's so much that we didn't have a big budget, but there's a lot of money like really that need to put in season 1. Like the bells, it's like, I mean, they're unique in my perception. They uniquely look different. I know maybe you could put some more glamour and shiny stuff or whatever you said, like on the front plate, you know. But you know what? As more we progress and we get season 2 and then who knows what comes after season 2. You know, just like any, like WWE, they always try to get a better looking championship or something to track you. So come up with a new belt, you know. So down the road, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to be able to stay with the belt.
Yeah, I get that.
Right.
And I think it was episode 2 we watched you on, where you're waiting for
Royce
Isaacs outside, and he's inside.
Oh, yeah. No, I was
inside. He was inside.
No, you were inside. Yeah. He was outside. So, you guys were waiting on each other.
So I came early to the venue, and I was waiting inside, and it was one of the associates with Rockman for Marissa, and she tried to tell me, but just couldn't get through me, I guess. She should, afterward, I told her, she should tell me right away that he's outside. So I was waiting inside, and Royce outside, like, waiting, like, till the end of the show, all night, and it was freezing, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then you saw what happened at the end.
I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you. Yeah.
Yeah. He called me Austrian redneck, which I'm still trying to figure out what that
Yes,
I can be
honest with you. That's what I was saying. I was wondering where you get your if you did some acting, because that scene was extremely funny. I've never seen that scene you in. It's very funny. I think you're a great competitor, seeing your in-ring work.
Yeah,
Yeah. But man, I think you are one of the funniest guys on that roster. You come across so clear.
I feel like you have to have some sense of talent to it, but of course you gotta do the skills. No, I'm having fun, and I have so many books, and I have books about acting and facials and stuff, but I think throughout the years to develop experience, like, just as I said before, you don't really have to use an extension of your character. That's why back in the days, The Rock was so big. Mostly bosses, they were themselves kind of extension. Like, they were all about entertainment, and that's my focus, you know? Like, my in-ring work, I'm always working at it, at the Emerging Pro Wrestling Academy. Like, every time I train, like, I always take something home to become better, in-ring-wise. But at the same time, like, I always focus a lot on entertainment, and there's so much stuff I write down, material. Like, once you cut off something and you really want to get better, you wanna wrap your mind around it 24/7. So time is so valuable. I try not to waste time on anything else. Like, it's about books, about the important things to me, you know? Because the time you can't get back. So, I wouldn't binge watch TV for 5 hours and then waste 5 hours that I could have maybe thought about. New segments, new promos, new speeches, And at the same time, when I'm out there with the crowd or if the camera is rolling, there's not really a script, you know? That's a good thing, what was back then about the attitude of The Rock. Like, he never really had to remember anything word for word, because even, my memory, I don't have the best memory. So if somebody hands me a script and I gotta remember whole page, I'm probably not gonna remember it. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there too.
Right, yeah, sometimes, like you're saying, the crowd reaction, you just kind of, if something is working, or something isn't working, you just kind of go with it organically, and it may just change up a little bit.
And it happened so much with me, I remember, even before season 1, when I was really, when I started with sugar, people hated me, because I was sugar.
Right.
There was so many times, I was staying in the ring, and it was hailing candy bars. It was raining candy bars. I couldn't continue to speak back to that. I elbow dropped the candy, I stopped the candy. You just react to the crowd. But now I'm pretty much like the joke. Now that sugar is bad, and I'm there. Then no, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just trying to say every child should have a fair chance to eat healthy food.
Right.
And if they decide, when I was raised with my brother, my mom didn't give us any candy. I never tasted chocolate until the age of 6 or 7.
Whoa.
And that's because of my aunt. My aunt gave me a chocolate bar when I was 6 or 7, and I was hooked. That was it. It was like just being on a drug. I was hooked. Then everything went downhill from there. until I managed to. It took me years to figure out how to not get into the habit.
Yeah,
and now I feel better than ever. I don't collapse. I don't feel dizzy. I just went to the doctor. Did a blood work and everything. Everything is perfect, so. Nutrition is the most important thing. I mean, health. So many philosophers say, without health, there's nothing else you can, achieve in life. You need health first to achieve the greatest achievements you can achieve, basically.
Yes, most definitely.
So I put, the four pillars. Health, then, love, which is family, wife, then wealth is important, and then happiness.
That's a great philosophy to live by, most definitely.
That's what I go by. Health is probably the most important person. You can have all the money in the world, but if you can't breathe, and you have a 0.74 24/7, and you can't even fly with it because you have to stay bed because it's sick. I wouldn't want to have that life there.
You know? Oh yeah, most so, definitely.
But it's the same that wealth is important too. Well, okay. It's not about what you can buy with it, but what you can do with it, you know? That's why I like Schwarzenegger. Like, he's really wealthy, but he's really giving back and doing so much for the kids and the communities and the state of California, and just inspiring a lot of people, you know? So it's right. Definitely gonna leave the world in a better shape than when he was born.
Yes.
That's my kick on it.
Nothing wrong with that. So, when you, what is next for you? What do you want to achieve? I know you're not done in your wrestling career, as you are, right? Because you're currently the Rocky Mountain Pro Champion. What is the highest of heights? What is next for you?
I mean, I always take it step by step, and definitely Rocky Mountain Pro, getting on a bigger level, on a national level, getting more people aware. I'm working now on my social media accounts, because before I never believed in social media for my, like, private stuff. So I just recently started social media, but there's nothing private. It's all about me, about the sugar-free movement, and, you know, just spreading out the messages. And I just want to get with Rocky Mountain Pro to the next level. I'll be doing all some traveling, getting out there, spreading the message, you know, getting maybe involved in some documentation, movies and stuff too.
Cool.
And maybe I also have trying to work in a project, trying to work in a YouTube show where I go out on the streets and interview people and all kinds of things I'm planning in the future. But definitely, now with the United Wrestling Network taking Rocky Mountain Pro to the next level, you know, it's all about elevating yourself.
Definitely. Do you do speeches outside of wrestling, or, you know, do you do, you know? Without, you know.
About, like, sugar and stuff?
I'm
looking into it. I'm trying to, I started in kindergarten or schools.
Yeah.
You know, with the kids, like, when my nephew goes to kindergarten, maybe I'm going to start there, you know. Just a little, like, to speak, like, show them, like, kind of show them how much sugar it is, and then, like, for example, my nephews, they're like 6 and 4, and they know exactly, what's health, what's good for them and what's not. And they know what's not good for them, they only had it once in a while.
Right.
So, that just proves to me that kids at that age, they're really smart, they're in that developing stage where they can be educated. And if we implement in schools, like, Nutrition, if we educate kids about nutrition in school and about the modern, we're not talking about the Western diet, the old fashioned Western diet where people say you can eat a lot of grains and carbs and all kinds of things, but no fat, fat is bad, and a lot of sugary stuff too. That diet caused a whole epidemic in the US. There was 50 years ago or more. There was a, on my Instagram, you can see, I think Joe Rogan shared it too, like, back then they were advertising sugar, just like the tobacco industry. They were lying to the people, said, oh, you need sugar to have energy, you need to have a good day, you know, like brainwashing people. They blamed all the diseases on fat, and now it turned out fat was the problem, it's the sugar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That old mentality is still in all of us, because that's how we grew up, you know? So it's changed. The momentum is taking a good direction. Like, a lot of people are raising awareness about it. So I feel good about it now. So it's like the moment getting away from that Western diet. It's getting there. So, but people still have that mentality. Like, for example, like, oh, you gotta eat a lot of cereals and cornflakes and all kinds of things for breakfast. Our bodies don't even need breakfast. Like, breakfast is not really necessary. In the term of, like, I'm saying, like, you eat a lot of sugary stuff.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, in the morning, yeah. I get that.
Because you're instantly sensitive. I don't want to get into details, but you're instantly sensitive. Your cortisol levels are high. Your body's not meant to deal with all this serious stuff in the morning. But then, I'm going to do a big breakfast. I could have a great day. But then 2 hours later, you crash and you need a big coffee or something. You know?
Yeah. I get
so,
right.
Yeah, so it's all about knowledge and self. And, like, that's me. And I love pro wrestling, so that's why I'm using pro wrestling as a platform. And it works out. It's been working out great so far, so I can't wait for it.
Yeah, most definitely. Man. I mean, I'm into that sugar-free movement.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when it comes off of pro wrestling contents, you know. Sometimes they make you seem like the heel when you're actually just, you're honestly trying to help people, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And I still sometimes do healing stuff, but, people immediately just think it's awkward. Like, I was a bad guy as soon as I talked about serious meds, blah, 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 because people are so like, it's like, if you tell a drug addict, let's say heroin, you're bad for you. So, no, I know what I'm doing. No, like, they get all alcohol. Like, all drugs are correlated. Sugar does the same thing to your brain. And I'm not even talking about the body or the organs. Sugar does the same thing to your brain like any other drug does to your brain. So, it is really addictive, you know, we, like, everybody's addicted to sugar because it's everywhere. That's the problem, it's everywhere.
Okay.
Anywhere you go, there's some ice cream shops, and you can buy sugar anywhere.
Right.
So, it's really fantastic, that's the problem. But it's all, on the other side, you have a lot of fast casual restaurant chains. They have more quality food. So now actually today we have a bigger chance to have the food. So it's not that bad.
Right.
Very cool.
So, I'm into this. I'm into what you're talking about with the sugar-free movement.
Yes.
So, what is a typical dinner or lunch for you? What are you having?
I mean, it depends. Like, I'm always experimenting with certain kinds of diets and stuff. And if I say diet, people right away just think, oh, diet is like not eating mushrooms or eating salads. Diet is just the way you eat your meals. Like, kind of, like, you know, that's your diet. It can be donuts every day. It can be bananas every day. You know.
Yeah.
So usually if I don't work out, I try to eat something like grass fed buffalo meat or elk steak or with a lot of vegetables, kale salad, and all kinds of greens are so important, like kale, broccoli. You know, if I work out, I need to get to feed my muscles too, to help you get, you know, recoup from the training. Then I eat like carbs, like I eat like white rice with it stuff. And if I really had a heavy training, I've been trying to experiment with like blueberries and bananas after the training in my smoothie, garlic in there, some little bit of peanut butter. But during the day, I don't eat much, really necessarily much food. I eat like, especially now with the wrestling schedule and everything, like, I'm trying to be efficient in the ring. Like, I don't want to have the, when I did the bodybuilding diet, the 6-7 meals a day, I tend, and eating carbs all the time, I tend to crash, like, I tend to be more exhausted in the ring performing. So now I just eat. My body's used to use fat as a fuel source, so I'm eating a lot of like eggs and cheap avocados, grass fed fatty, like burgers but without the bread, just the bread, lettuce, and like coffee with coconut oil, heavy cream, you know. But if I need to sweeten something, I use stevia.
Yeah.
See, and you know what's the funny thing about Stevie is still like, that, like, you know, the Stevia plant, most people don't know, it's usually can grow it in a, I think in a tropical environment, or like, you know, where it's pretty warm, and it doesn't freeze. It's still illegal here. Like, it's illegal. The plant, it's not FDA approved. So the stevia you buy before is still the best choice, but it's not 100% pure stevia leaf extract. Just because of the FDA, that goes back. That's why I'm trying to use. That's why I'm in that war with the food industries, where there's so much money involved with them. The sugar industry makes billions of dollars. So of course there's so much money involved. If they would legalize the stevia plant, like the sugar industry would really suffer, you know? So, this is, like, that's one thing I wanna have it FDA approved so people can actually, like, not have pure stevia leaves, like oil extract, so they can use it. Even if you go to the store, like, if you need to sweeten anything, like, just use raw stevia, because any kind of, you still gotta pay attention to the ingredients to make sure it's pure stevia. But, they add a couple of things, but, like, even the sweeteners, those like aspartame and sucrose sweeteners, those are as addictive and harmful for you, just like processed cake sugar.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, even diet soda are not good because, the scientists work for the sugar industry. They're trying to figure out this. Most of the time, money they spend to figure out how can we manipulate the taste buds and the grain with certain chemicals so you really get hooked. There was a time I was not the regular soda, but diet soda. Like, I drink a diet soda, 20 minutes later, I can't wait to get another one. Like, it's really addictive. I did the experiment and it's the bad addiction. So, what is the best recommendation? Water. And if you want to have something sweet, you can make your own lemonade. Just put fresh lemon in there, add some stevia, mix it up, and it just tastes like a fantastic lemonade.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But, yes. That's very cool, very, very interesting. They're, you know, learning some new stuff and learning about you, but,
No, yeah, I don't want to get you off track either, you know, but.
No.
There's so much we can talk about it, but I know all the time is limited, so.
It's fantastic, man. We're here to learn about your wrestling career, see how, you know.
Yeah.
Now we know it's really the sugar-free Mario Avengers. Not a gimmick, it's real life. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's not something you say, it's something you are.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Like, people at the Rocky Mountain Ford, they know it's they try to tell people that's him, really, you know. He's not like, I'm not doing a character like.
Yeah.
But I know, like. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll be more adventurous on the other side. I'm just like,
yeah,
please. I'm something. I don't know. Whatever I say, especially post to me, that it's me. So, and then whatever you see on season one, you know? So, you guys, so far, you watched episode two?
Well, we've reviewed episode one and two. One, of course, was the transition episode from NRW to Rocky Mountain Pro. I of course have seen everything live because you know I'm there in Canada.
Oh yeah,
full disclosure. Right. Yeah. And of course I watched everything when it was on the Realm Network, and now I'm watching everything again on Fight TV.
Yeah.
So this is like my third or fourth time watching everything. But you count everything up. So
it's still like kind of intriguing to you. Interesting, like, there's so much material to season one.
Right, yeah, and you have to, yeah, sometimes there's things you miss, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know? So it's a refresher. Yeah. And, you know, of course I'm excited about taping for season 2 coming up here real soon. And, and speaking of that, we really do appreciate your time, but tell everybody, our listeners, how they want to connect up with you, any social media accounts you have, and things of that nature. How can they find you?
So, Facebook is more your manager. I don't even have an admin page because I use my private Facebook as my public, I guess. Like, I don't put anything private, it's all about wrestling, Rocky Mountain Pro, or the Sugar Free Movement. It's Mario Venture. Instagram is at Sugar Free Mario Venture. And Twitter is now Mario Venture. And Mario Venture. On top of that, like, now I have my t-shirts on Amazon.
Right.
You can buy the State of the Sugar t-shirt on Amazon and the Keep Calm and Stay Off Sugar t-shirt too. And even with the t-shirt, I wear my t-shirt every day and I have nothing but good reactions to the public. Like random people walking up and they say, yeah, you're right. It's like, you get a t-shirt, it's not just for you, but you're gonna maybe change somebody else's life. And I'm not trying to be like dramatic, right, but like, just think for a second. Like every day I go along and encounter people. Like the other day I walked to a fast casual food restaurant just to grab some meat and salad and stuff. And as I walk in, there's a couple with a baby that said, wow, we were just talking about it. It's amazing. We were just talking about sugar and we were trying to figure out how our baby to read the label, you know, and it was like just telling me that it was excited, you know. And we talked about it a little bit. Just like your baby, they're so the sad thing. The sugar food industry, they don't tell you, but they put so much added sugar in baby food. It's crazy to think about it. So don't even trust the baby food. You better read the label and make sure there's no added sugar or any high fructose corn syrup. Like that's pure poison for your body, especially kids, because the body doesn't know what to do with it. High fructose corn syrup was invented in the lab. So cheap that it's almost 90% in the foods available in the food store. So 80% of, let's say 80%, that was the last statistic. 80% of the foods in the grocery stores have high fructose corn syrup or added sugar. Sugar has like 64 different names. There's 64 different names for sugar too. So people they don't know. That's the problem. But the food industry said it's your personal responsibility. Not so. Right. That's where we clash. That's where the sugar free movement is. That's how the war starts.
But we want to thank you very much, Sugar Free Mario Vanders, for coming on to What's on Fight, man. I mean,
my pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it. Like, it was really fun to talk to you guys. I hope I didn't bore the audience too much.
Nah, but you gave them a good education.
Right.
I'm trying. As long as it's in a way where sometimes, just like in season 1, it's education but in a funny way.
Right. You know?
Because we remember when you're at school and the teacher is like, talk, okay, this goes this way, you got to reach out to 1, X and Y and this, like, you get so fast bored that you basically say, oh, this sucks.
Right.
So that's why.
Once again, thanks to the current Rocky Mountain Pro champion, none other than Sugar Free Mario Vanders. Is not a gimmick, it's life to him. And I think it's pretty cool. I mean, people look funny at you, like my dislikement movement, where I don't use a certain word, and I use dislike, and people make it seem like I'm odd about it. And you got to understand where it's coming from. I don't use certain words, and I don't use certain phrases. And it's just the same with him. He doesn't use sugar, so you shouldn't be upset at him that he doesn't. He's not hitting you over the head with an apple, so.
Right. And, to all the listeners, who thought you would get a great education here on What's on Fight? It's definitely something a little different, and we are very well appreciative of Mario for coming on and letting us know, giving us a little education with a little entertainment and wrestling.
As we are steadily getting interviews and knocking them out of the park, what should we be reviewing next?
Well, next we are going to be reviewing New European Wrestling.
Yeah,
and we're going to be reviewing the Battle Royal episode. I'm not sure what episode that is there.
It's called Snake Pit, and it's a...
Snake Pit.
So it's a, like a 15 men will enter the snake pit, but only one will be man will rise. And I guess it's a number one contenders thing, and he will take on the new, they go by new, new European wrestling, new, heavyweight champion. So it's like a number one contenders match for the new title. So that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
And what else do we have here? Like I said, I'm skipping over some stuff, but as we were doing this podcast, I'm getting some texts back, and I lined up another interview. No set time, but I'm very excited if we get one of these other people on here. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, we had said in our previous episode with Billy Alexander, we're a little busy last week, but we are going to definitely make it up this week and hit you guys with a whole bunch of content.
Yeah, a lot of people. Funny enough, a lot of people want to come on and be interviewed on the show. I mean, we're not looking for them. They're coming after us. You know, we ask a few people, but then when they realize who we are and what we do, they want to be on. We're putting them out there. But to reach us. It is simple, easy. We're on Twitter. The easiest way to reach us is on Twitter. And it is What's On Fight on Twitter. We got our website, whatsonfight.com, with a straight direct link to our archives on the brand new Trending Topics Network. It seems like I didn't have no beef with Mario Badgers, or maybe he's so tired from working out he forgot, which is great. Jeez. But we have the fight line, 702-907-3483, 702-907-FIGHT, F-I-T-E. We have other fantastic, great podcasts to talk about here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. And we're going to start off with the best one, like we always do. And that's Loot Chat, where I chat with and about Lucha Underground and the people who are directly contacted with Lucha Underground. I have the interviews as well, but only with Lucha Underground stars, like as we do on What's On Fight. We only talk to people who we watched on Fight. So that makes sense, right? No reason to talk about someone you ain't watching, right?
Exactly. Yep, that's why it's so great and exciting that we can interview any kind of people associated with any promotion, for example, on the Fight TV app. So I'm excited, of course, every time, cheap plug, I get one of my home promotion talents or anybody behind the scenes and et cetera on, so it's awesome.
And we have the European Uppercut, European perspective of American pro wrestling or all pro wrestling. And last episode you threw out a challenge to them. And
I'm going to keep that challenge out there.
Yeah, I'm going to add on to it. We are becoming the European of the American Uppercut podcast. We're challenging you to watch new wrestling, New England,
New European
wrestling. So we're going to have an American perspective of European pro wrestling, and I hope they follow along,
Yeah. Send us your feedback, guys.
What do we have? What's up next?
We also have on the Trending Topics Network, the brand new Trending Topics Network, we have the Spanish announce table. They slam your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. And we also have WrestleCast Live.
Live.
And the podcast that has a serious discussion about the non-serious world of professional wrestling.
Live.
Live.
We have Wrestling Cheers, Hanging with Heffy, the NFL Easy Picks, if you want me to put some bets in for you out here in Las Vegas, go ahead and send me some info, because you can bet on the NFL draft, believe it or not, in Las Vegas. So you got the CFL Easy Picks. We have a lot of non-sporting podcasts. We got Squabble Box, Legends on Siren FM, Eurovision Showcase, The Touch Experience, All Beer Inside. Oh, man. I still need that ass. We got STFU, Shut the Fuck Up, and so much, much, and more.
Mike, your Odds On podcast that you released a few times.
Yes, where we give you the odds and, some bettings you can make with your friends if you want to bet a friend a beer or a drink here and there, and how you could, bet on pro wrestling and win. And what not to bet on. Yeah. But, looks like we are done, fighting with Sugar-Free Mario Vanders. How about you?
I am, good as well. So, until next time, that's all we have to fight about. So, and we will fight on.
All right.
But you keep on trying.